Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm debunking your perception of porn and why using it as a rule book for sex ed will do you more harm than good. Plus, I'm answering your calls and emails. Topics include examples of how people have used porn as their sex ed instead of what it's actually meant for, entertainment. So, you want to go down on your wife more, but you're bothered by her lack of upkeep. So, how do you tell her you prefer less hair without offending her? Ways to get your boyfriend to be more expressive because you can't stand his silence during sex. And even abundance of vibrators, and you've used them all, but you haven't reached climax yet with any of them. Is it the toys or is it you? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out our website, sexwithemily.com, for even more awesome sex tips. And you can find me on SiriusXM Radio Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. You should totally check it out. And if you want a free 30-day trial, you can go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can find me on all social media across the board. It's at sexwithemily. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy the show. So, I've often alluded to this on the show, but I can't say it enough, that I don't actually have a problem with porn. I'm not anti-porn, but I do think one of the main challenges I have around porn is that a lot of people are learning to have sex through watching porn. They're actually taking it like a blueprint of like a manual, like step-by-step ways I should have porn. I should have sex. So, of course, I'm going to have sex for the first time, and she's going to show up with three friends, and then she's gonna squirt, or he's gonna, like, you know, spank me, or, you know, he thinks that he's okay to choke her, all the things, or they're actually having orgasms. Like, none of that is real either. So what you know is that porn is fiction. Most of the porn that you watch, if you're on the tube sites, are created by men for men, but a lot of women watch it too, obviously. And this is where I have a problem, is that we're learning to have sex that way, then we actually have sex that way. But it's just because we didn't know any better. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying that no one else is talking about sex. They're not teaching you in schools. No. Unless you seek it out, like you don't change a channel when you're listening to this show. And you're like, oh, I actually want to learn how to have sex. Mm-hmm. I never actually learned. I never had a sex ed class. So everything I learned was untrue, which is actually true. There's a book called that too, Untrue.
There is.
By our friend Wednesday Martin. And it is true that most of the things, I want to say that 90% of the things that you know about sex are wrong. So anyway, a lot of that comes from porn. I do like when couples watch porn together, or they share scenes with each other of things they want to try, or it helps people get more and, you know, figure out what turns them on. A lot of us kind of have repressed fantasies, so to watch porn can inspire us. And then we have stuff, like, we have, like, more for our spank bank. But the problem today that we're going to cover is there was crazy Reddit threads. This went off. And there were things that women wish men would stop trying to do in bed that they saw in porn. And then there were things that men wish women would stop trying to do that they saw in porn. And we just found this hilarious and enlightening.
So true.
Okay. So, read some of these.
Yes.
I'll read the first one. Mm-hmm. Ready, guys? What women wish men would stop trying to do. When you tell a guy that you're close or just like that, and they think that's the code for going lightning fast all of a sudden. Like, no, I just wanted you to continue doing the same thing with some encouragement. Don't set my vagina on fire.
Oh, my God. This is the thing that I hate the fucking most.
I said do the same. When I say just like that, I mean just not. I don't mean just like that, but faster.
Okay. Yeah. Literally, why? I just want to know what goes on in their head.
Because for men to ejaculate, when they think we're going to come, just like everything is very, sex is very male focused. So that's just how we've learned it. So they assume, just like porn, that that's how it happens. So they assume when men orgasm, they have to go faster and faster, faster. For women, we just want you to go just like that. Don't slow, don't leave, don't fast. But that's why.
But I would really like to know why, because I feel like when we say this, and this has happened to me many times, I'm like, yes, that feels great. Keep doing that. I'll even say keep doing that. And then they start to change it up, or they literally actually do not even just a faster rhythm, but something completely different. Right.
They got scared.
They got scared of the orgasm, which is so weird. Cause I'm like, what? I just don't get it. I don't get how the computing doesn't work.
Well, maybe he didn't know what he was doing. Like, you know what I mean? Also, maybe in that moment when you said that, he was like, oh shit, what was I doing?
And so it just kind of threw him off. Because I also feel like we're damned if we don't say it, because what if they do change what they're doing? And we're like, no, go back.
But when we say that, it's a pretty good sign you should pay attention to the moment.
Exactly.
Like, it's a pretty good time to like stop and try to rewind and see whatever you were doing and keep doing that.
But I wonder if the reverse happens, because I feel like I've never at least heard that from a guy in my own sexual things, my own sexual encounters, that like I've changed things up when they've said stuff.
I'm like, I'm trying to think of a guy who said don't stop, and he has. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I don't know if you can tell us. Maybe it is the same, but this is some other things here. James, you want to read?
Yeah, I'm going to read this one. This is from Reddit. So these are like the actual people's responses. So this person said, this idiot guy I was fucking just switched holes on me. No warning whatsoever and not even slow. One moment I'm having a lovely time getting fucked. Next minute I'm crying in the bathroom with a painful bleeding asshole. And he was pleading at the door saying he's inexperienced and saw it in a porn. I was traumatized for months.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. So this is why you're all like, everyone's asking me about anal. You're like, oh, how do I try anal? Or my girlfriend won't try anal. And I'm telling you, for so many women, it's this exact story. I've talked about this. I will say it again right now. That wrong hole, or like it's sudden and you can't just switch holes. I'm telling you, anal needs warm up. You got to massage the butt. You got to use lots of lube. You got to go slow. You can't just enter the back door without knocking, without warming up, without talking about it. And so as a result, she's traumatized. Who knows if she would even want to do it again, but definitely probably for months. Not. And he said he saw it in porn. She didn't say her age in here. And here's the thing. How would he know differently?
He wouldn't.
No. He's like, and in fact, I'll say this. Most of the porn you watch these days, you'd have to put like porn, like no porn in your search, no anal in your search. Because I think most porn includes anal now. Yeah. Majority of it. So you just kind of assume, like you'd have to say like porn without anal, you'd have to be a distinction, because I think that most porn has anal that you assume that's a part of it. Like, we're going to have anal. Like, that's a normal thing for everyone to do right away. Or I could just switch holes.
I mean, it just, and for them to think though, because how would they know that there's in between, that they're doing lots of stretches, they're doing lots of things, they're putting on the lube.
They got butt plugs in them all day. Right.
Yeah, they're like preparing for this moment. And it's just like, for me, the way that I think about it, it's like in a regular TV show, when a couple is out or they meet at a bar and they're making out, and then all of a sudden, cue, they're still making out, but in their house. It's like they don't show the car ride to the house where they're just sitting there and kind of having this weird conversation, because we don't need to see that part.
Exactly. So
that doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Exactly, Jamie. So what we don't need to see here is, okay, babe, let's try some, you know, like he's massaging her ass and he's using like the equivalent of that. Yeah. The equivalent of him just going in one hole and the other hole is he's not seeing massaging the ass. taking off the condom that he was using, having sex with her, and then like making sure she's warmed up, making sure she already had a clitoral orgasm, making sure that he just used a little pinky finger at first to go in, and tons of lube, like so much lube, and then reapplying the lube, and then slowly but surely when she's breathing deeply and she's ready and willing, she breathes, and then he pushes in, and then she breathes out, and you inhale, exhale, and it goes in slow, and it's like a whole thing. But nope, porn jumps right to the in and out.
Because most
like
people...
it's just like that.
Right? Most people are going to lose interest...
in a porn.
In a porn, if they show them that. They're going to be like, what is this tutorial happening
exactly.
here?
Exactly. Right, just get to the anal. Exactly. That's the part we're missing. And now, not to say that in porn, like, they probably are... they literally... are warming up before yeah. the scene. Like,
they are.
You guys, and for your real life, for women to enjoy anal, at least, you know, maybe if you've experienced it a lot, and this is for beginners, I'm telling you, and even for people who are a little more experienced, you need to, it helps to be aroused already. It helps to have your orgasms first, for women to have a clitoral orgasm, to already be turned on, to be super relaxed, to be, you know, to loosen up, not just to put it right in. So, okay, this next one. This is what the women... wish men would stop trying to do in bed that they saw in porn. Rubbing my clit like it's a burnt piece of food stuck to a pan.
Oh my God. This, yeah. Okay, when I saw okay. this, I literally died for 2 minutes.
I mean, really, like, I could, then I saw the nails going up and down.
Like, you just get cringed.
People don't furiously rub away the clitoris. In fact, to approach the clitoris, which I don't think you often see this in porn either, you don't see them kissing, making out, slowly working their way up the inner thigh and tickling and teasing the inner thighs and their legs, and then they're moving in slowly, and then maybe they're approaching the clitoral hood with their mouth first, or maybe just their tongue, I mean their fingers, but they're doing it slow, and they've washed their hands, and there's definitely some lube on it because the lube, their clitoris is not self-lubricating, they're not spitting on their hands, and then they're moving their fingers so slowly after moving up their legs, like to their clitoral hood, and then they're like, maybe they were tickling the pubic mound and then moving down slowly, and then they're barely touching it. They're lightly moving in for the clitoris, and then they can start to move. They're not going in it scraping away like a pan.
And I will say, personally, when I get closer to orgasm, I get rougher with my own clitoris.
Yes.
Once I'm very close and there's minutes, more than one, plural minutes of softness.
Right.
Prior. Right. And again, because men are like, I want to come now in the porn, they're only going to show right before she orgasms to make it look easy.
It's not that easy. It's not rubbing away at it like food stuck in a pan or like you're trying to loosen change from a gumball machine. That is not the way you do it.
Imagine like things just start falling.
That'd be hilarious. We're so aggressive with it. I know. You're like, oh, wow, gumballs do come out.
I didn't even have to put in a quarter.
Right. But this whole quote, rubbing my clit like it's a burnt piece of food stuck to a pan. Thanks for touching it, but not like that, man. Like, we're glad you're touching it. Like, I'm glad they found it.
Right?
Like, you found it. Congratulations. You know where it is. And I think that's also a learning process for many people. They're just not sure. They don't have one. They're not sure. They don't know. Another thing here is treating every vagina the same.
Yes.
Which goes to show with maybe this guy's last girlfriend liked it being scraped like there was food stuck to a pan. I doubt it. But the truth is that what men do is they often think, and women do this too, we think that our current partner wants the same thing our last partner wanted. And so we're like, well, I assume that every woman wants me to, you know, slap her clitoris or make out, you know, do whatever, things that are just... whatever. That's why each vagina, each penis, each partner you're with is a new experience to learn in the moment. Pay attention to it.
And that's the best way to find out is just to be like, hey, what's your vagina like?
Right. What's your vagina? We should have it just like... I feel like when all these dating apps, I know this is down the road, but you're talking about where you hang out, what you like to do, but and this would be a problem for over-sexualizing it, but when couples get together right away, just figuring out what the hell you like. What does your clitoris like?
Right.
People don't even know.
So tell me about your clitoris. Like, yeah. If I had a guy like? Ask me that, I would be like, oh my God, you evolved male. I'd be like, that's amazing. I will tell you what it likes.
But you would, but I think a lot of women wouldn't know what to say.
Well, because they wouldn't know. They don't necessarily know, maybe.
That's why we're here.
And that is why.
Figure it out. Have an answer to the question. Believe me, your partners want to please you. They just don't know how. And so they're just, and this is why we're all doing this. We don't know any better way, but we're just assuming that it either is in porn or we learned in porn or our last partner wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one?
This one here. This one, because this one is interesting to me. So, this person wrote, I hate when guys stick it in fast and just start pumping away. Go slow and let me feel the stretch. And when you're all the way in, pause for a second, maybe kiss me, possibly pull halfway back out, and then you can slam back in and go to town if you want. It's just that initial entry is one of the best parts of sex. Please don't ruin it for me.
I agree with this too. I believe that when you just in porn, you do see it just pumping away. And that we don't see the warm-up part. I never want anyone to stick it in, or worse, just like touch it for a second, like touch my clitoris or finger me for a second, and then you stick it in. Like, I'm telling you, that initial like entering period is really hot, and I love the idea of like going slow, pausing, kiss. That's really hot. Like, you got all night to pound. Don't pound, whatever. But you slow it down, and pounding away right away is never a great idea.
No. I like how she says in here, at some point that is okay. Just don't go like right, like 0 to 150. Right.
Off the bat, please don't. Please don't. These are some things that, I love that this breaks it down, because honestly, you guys, there's a lot of stuff we're doing. You might even see yourself. I'm hoping that people are listening like, I see myself in this. I have been doing it because I learned it in porn. I think we don't even know the origin story of a lot of our sex acts. We're like, oh, I never thought that. Or I never thought it was because my last partner wanted it. Or I just made this assumption based on the porn that I've seen. So you're not a bad person. This is the most, I hear this every single day from people who are like, either they don't know how to act during sex, or they're with someone who's acting like they're in porn and it doesn't seem authentic to who they are, because it's not. So this is one of my favorites. Go down on me for 5 seconds and call it foreplay. I don't even know if that's what they see in porn, or that's what they just think that. I mean, I think this is two things here. Like I said, if you're going to go down on me for a minute, you could do something so much more effective. You could just go get me a glass of water. You can make me a snack. But like going down on me for a minute does nothing. Like, I didn't even know you were there yet. A minute, not enough. Because that feels like I'm just lubing you. I'm just getting you wet so I can go ahead and ram away at you. Like a pound away.
And it's like a tease, but the wrong kind of tease. Because you never go back. It'd be different if you went back.
They never go back. I thought you were coming back. Where'd you go? Come back. And then you just pull them back down. You're like, oh, not ready yet. Come back. That's a lovely way to do it. Pull them back down.
I can just imagine.
Love, gently.
The situation of like a woman scooting back down, like, so the vagina meets the face and the guy keeps trying to go up and she keeps trying to meet
That's
the
a great
face.
Scene.
I just keep on going and then you guys fall off the bed.
Exactly. That'd be amazing. But I think I've been that girl too, who's like, oh, I did for so long, I didn't say anything because I was like, oh, this is how it's supposed to go. He knows what he's doing. Men know more than I do. I'm just going to let him do this. So for every woman out there who's like, this is familiar, it's okay to be like, you know what? I'm not ready yet. Not quite turned on yet. Not ready for the pounding yet. Need a little bit warm up.
Exactly.
It's okay to say that.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have a Laura, 51 in Virginia, who wants to add in on this conversation about porn lies that not everyone, woman can deep throat or enjoy it.
Oh, yes, Laura. Exactly. Tell me more.
Yes. It's terrible. They all think that you can deep throat just like the porn women do. And you, most of the time you end up gagging, you know, with tears in your eyes. And it's not very pretty.
Right. Exactly. That was a porn thing. Don't you think, Laura? You're 51. Do you think this wasn't happening 20 years ago?
No, it wasn't.
Right.
It actually wasn't.
It wasn't. It wasn't even a thing, choking it. Yeah.
20 years ago, they thought it was a huge treat to get a blowjob.
Thank you, Laura. You know, yeah. We should have gotten flowers.
And
now they want to kill us on their dick. They want to stick it so far we're going to throw up and die or something.
Shove your head down and, you know, hold your hair and shove your head down. And it's like, I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't do that. And I don't want to do it. Not even interesting to me. Exactly. No. Laura, I hate that too. That is a porn thing, and it's got to stop. You're right. Laura, thank you so much. It's perfect. Couldn't have said it better.
It's so true.
Oh my God. Like, isn't there one of these here that...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here it is. This is actually a quote from the Reddit thread. Trying to force their dick deeper down your throat while giving oral. Unlike porn stars, I have a gag reflex, and it's not hot for me to gag on your dick and almost throw up on you. It kills the mood for me and makes me not want to go down again. I don't know where this came from. I don't think that women, your eyes are watering.
I think, well, definitely you porn.
Throw up. Well, porn.
But also, I think in their minds, it's a suggestion because they would like you to be sucking the dick farther. However, I don't think that they realize that the reason why we're not going all the way down is because it's as far as it can go.
Right. We hit the limit here.
We hit the limit. And also just, you know, you can... No, nothing's in your mouth. I have a penis in my mouth, so I can't really talk to you right now.
Right.
But you have nothing in your mouth, so you can be like, hey, babe, I do think it'd be really hot if you tried to go a little deeper.
Go a little deeper. I would do that. Or use more pressure, because a lot of times it's not more pressure. Exactly. You could use your hands during a blowjob, and it's just as effective. I'm telling you. You don't have to go all the way down. You can go up and down with your hand. You use both hands, and then use your mouth at the tip. That can feel great. The other reason why, one of my hypotheses about the gag thing, is that also... In their minds, perhaps, men are like, it's so big, you're choking on it. Like, it's my dick, and you want it so bad, you're choking. Like, it's gagging.
Yeah, I think that that's part of it. It's like this thing, they're like, oh my God.
Oh my God, it's so big, she's choking on it. It's my dick, because they're very dick-centric.
Yeah, I think so. But what happens when you hit her uvula and she pukes all over your crotch?
Yeah, and that's so, it's all fun and games, so she pukes all over your crotch.
If that ever, it almost happened to me once. Swallowed it back down like a champ. But if I had thrown up on him, I would have been like, well, that's your fault.
Right. Exactly. All right, guys. Just I love that. She validated it all. It's true, you guys. I'm like, no, 10 years ago, it wasn't a thing. The other thing is, here's another one. Basically, everything done without consent, porn makes it seem like you can do anything to any woman at any time, and she'll love it. Ask first. Choking, slapping, anal, coming in the face, etc. It can be fun or not, but ask first. Don't go with the porn mentality that women are always wanting and always willing. Not everyone is into that, and there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are onto your calls and your email questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
That's Dr. Tom. He's 31 in Maryland, and he wants to know how he can ask his wife to shave her pubic area.
Hey, Tom. Tell me everything.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling. Tell me everything.
Yeah.
Too much
hair. No, it's basically like, it's not that crazy. It's just that I don't enjoy it that she does not shave that area. She does trim around it, but like the actual hair right there, she does not shave. And it bothers me when I go down on her. And I just wanted to know if like maybe some women have a thing that they want it, and like maybe I should not be asking her to shave it.
Well, no, wait, hold on, babe. This is your wife, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and how long have you guys been together?
5 years.
Okay. So here's what's cool is like, you guys are committed, you're together. Just say, you could have the conversation, much like I was talking to Jessica. Have you guys ever talked about sex or what she's into or what she likes or what you like?
Yeah, not so much out of the bedroom, but we do talk about it a lot in the bedroom.
Well, the best place to talk about sex, ironically, is outside the bedroom. When you're not having sex, when you're not even turned on. Because that's how we have actually productive conversations about sex. So I think you can make it more like, I love pleasing you. I love going, you know, I love our sex life. You're hot or whatever you want to say. All the things you love about her. and say, and I was thinking about, I love going down on you, and I just want to put this out. This is uncomfortable to say, but I love, you know, going down on you. It feels so good, but it's with sometimes with a lot of hair around there, it's harder for me to do that. Would you be open to me like taking a shower with me and I could like shave you one night? Or just say, you know your wife well enough, or just like, how would you feel about shaving? I would get you a bikini wax, you know? And then say, of course, or you could also not in that first conversation time, you could just say, I realize that most of our sex talk is in the bedroom. And I thought, well, you're my life. We're going to be together for a long time. And I want to figure out how to be the greatest lover you've ever had. And I want to know how we can have incredible sex. Let's just start talking about it. So anything been on your mind? You know, here's what's been on my mind. And you also have to know, though, the other thing is, to go back to your question, women just might like that. Yeah. I mean, you got to also be okay with the fact with she might like having hair, and she could also be offended. I mean, there are some women who are like, how dare you tell me what to do with my hair? It's my hair and I'm growing it. So
That was my question. I should even attempt to ask her.
Right? So this is what I'm saying, Tom. You could just kind of, you know her well enough to be like, so listen, babe, when I go down on you, sometimes it's hard. Like, I know you've hair down there. Like, would you be comfortable shaving it? Have you always had hair down there? How would you feel about it? I'm totally cool if you want to keep it. It's just harder for me. You know, just, I think it's important to like let her know.
Not make it that I need it, but just ask her.
Suggestion. I'm curious about that. Have you ever, you could even say to her this, Tom, find one of these that work for you. Have you ever shaved it off? Have you ever considered trimming it more? Because maybe you just wanted to trim it more, right? Or shave it all off.
Or a low trim, I guess.
Okay, perfect. Like, I think, actually, like, you could say, I've heard it actually makes it even better or more sensitive. And it's true, actually. That's why Brazilian bikini waxes became a whole thing. And, you know, women, it actually can make it feel better. So say, would you be open to that? But I'm not telling you what to do here. Okay, Tom? You can do it outside the bedroom. I promise. You're so welcome. Thanks for calling, Tom.
Let's see if we can help Brian. He's 27 in California, and he wants to know how he can get his girlfriend more in touch with her sexuality.
Hey, Brian, tell me what's going on. Love to help you.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
So I'm doing well. First of all, new listener, so I've been really intrigued with everything, so this is really great.
Thank you.
Recently, I've felt, I've come to realization that my girlfriend is not very much, she's in her head a lot, which is something that's talked about a lot on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not very connected with her body. Sometimes I feel like I'm the one who's very much more, thinking about sex. And because of that, I tend to avoid pushing it onto her because I feel like I'm just, either begging for sex or whatnot. What's going on now is I'm trying to figure out a way to begin and continue a conversation where I make sex present in her mind, because there's literally no thought of it. Like, she has a vibrator and everything, but she doesn't even use it.
Have you ever talked to her about it and said, so, tell me about it. Like, was there a time when you were more into sex? Like, is she under a lot of stress right now? Have you talked to her about this before?
We've started talking a lot about the stress that she's having, because I'm fairly new listener, as soon as I started listening, I just started trying to sort of at least maybe pry at her brain to have her talk to me, because then she's admitted that she doesn't talk about a lot of things because she doesn't want to damper the relationship or bring things down. So I'm trying to encourage her to trust me to open up a little more, and that I'm not going to be quick to judge no matter what.
Okay.
And the last time we actually had a conversation about sex, that was about maybe 3 months ago or so, and then I realize now, after listening to the show, I should continuously talk about it, I did it once, and I thought it would just click, and now I'm finding myself getting a little frustrated, because it doesn't.
It never takes one conversation. I mean, this is think about it. You guys have never talked about it. How long have you guys been together?
2.5 years.
Yeah. I mean, you've been having 2.5 years, something that's a main cornerstone of a relationship, you have never talked about. So I think now the next one is, I really want to, I've said to everyone tonight, let's prioritize our sex life. I want to be great lovers. It's something I want to keep talking about. I realize I've let a lot of time go past. I never want to be the one who's just, I want to be a great lover to you. I want to please you. I want to help you with your anxiety. And this will actually help. We could do some mutual masturbation together. I mean, I get it. Understand women just sitting next to the vibrator not doing it. That happens to all of us. That even happens to me. But I feel it's like we were saying earlier, sex begets sex. The more she does it and masturbates and maybe finding out what does turn her on and like asking her her most memorable time she had sex. What does she think about? What does she fantasize about? And just kind of keeping the conversation going, because then you won't feel like you have to like solve this all on your own. And like now you have to be a really great listener to all of her stuff, which is a great skill in a partner. But then you're not getting, you're like, well, if I listen to everything, then I'll take it all off her mind and then she'll want to have sex. Doesn't work that way. Take it from a woman who has a lot of stuff to always talk about. It doesn't work that way. So you don't want to push her, but you can't ignore it either. So it's a fine line between saying like, I love you and I'm here for you, and I hope, you know, sex is such an important part of a relationship and I want our relationship to be really strong. I want our sex, you know?
Yeah, I definitely understand, and I know it's going to take some time, so I'm definitely going to try to be patient about that. I do have a question, though. She tends to, when I try to get answers from her with personal questions regarding anything, like I've even asked recently, you know, what makes to you, what makes a happy relationship,
mm-hmm.
or like what would make our relationship a happy one? She's someone who always has an I don't know answer. I don't know why, but her immediate, like she blanks and she struggles to come up with answers for herself. Probably, so do you have any
suggestions? Yeah, I do. From someone who's a, I don't know, because she doesn't know. She's 27 as well. Is she your age? Younger?
29.
Okay. So you guys have been together 3 years. I don't know how many other relationships she's had, but she might not know. Like, are you the first serious relationship?
No, she's had a lot more sexual encounters than I have.
Right.
But it's never really been, she's never had a situation where they've asked her about.
Right. I didn't know in my 20s. Listen, no one knows what they want. People don't know what they want still. Like, that, knowing what we want is actually a lot harder question to answer for most people than we would think. You'd think like, well, wait a minute. Like, of course I know what I want. We can say what we don't want a lot easier than we can say what we want. So maybe you can find out more like, what doesn't she want? You know, you could say, well, would you be interested in figuring it out? So maybe she needs, I don't know how she learns it, maybe giving her some scenarios. Like, would you want to take a class together? Like, do you picture us having children? Do you, what are your values? Like, what's a perfect Saturday for you when you're in a relationship? What's a perfect date night? Like, what, you know, do you want to live in the city or the country? How important is family to you? Like, maybe you have to get more specific with your questions, because I couldn't have answered that then. I probably would have been like, I don't know. We're just in my 20s. Like, you don't know. You haven't lived enough on the planet. So just ask her some more questions and don't make her vote, and then she'll get there. You know, and it's a great exercise for her as well. So just get to know each other on a more intimate, you know, on a more like specific level. Like, this is really important now too, because then you'll know if you should stay together and you're on the same page. What a great way to find out if you share the same values and the same vision for the future. So just get more curious and less probing, less like probing and like, we got to find all this out, you know, but curious, asking questions. Tell me more. People love talking about themselves. You just got to ask questions the right way. Okay, Brian? Thanks for calling. Keep me posted. I'm here for you.
We have an email from Amanda, who's 25 in Utah, and she said that my guy is silent in the bedroom. How can I get him to be more expressive and dominate me?
Okay, Amanda. This is a good one. I'm telling you, there's something about guys that many guys, there'd be a lot of different reasons why he is silent in the bedroom. I mean, I think that men are trained from a young age. They're masturbating in their bedroom. You know, they're afraid their parents are going to walk in. They have to be quiet. They're just like, sex is something that I'm quiet. And I don't know. I don't, and maybe in porn too, I don't know if men are like, giving big noises, but I think men are just more shy about it, or they wired themselves to be more quiet in the bedroom when they orgasm. Like my guy that I dated who I didn't even know if he orgasmed. Like, I have to like listen. I just like no noise, because when he did come, this is what it sounded like. He'd be like,
Oh my
I'm like,
God.
Like, did, was like, you okay there, bud? Like, no, it was like his orgasm. I was like, That's it. Nothing else would move. He was same position. I swear.
So
that's
what?
Exactly,
what would you do right after?
I was like, so you came right. Like, I'd have to like check. Is there like semen? Like, what happened? It was like a twitch. I'm like, you have to miss it. Like, you blink, you miss it. And I was like, dude. I didn't say dude, but I was like, babe. I'm trying to think how smart I was. This was probably the first. Okay, I was dating this guy. It's so funny because I actually have a weird thing with memory, but I can't remember who I was dating when. Like, what year? Like, oh, this was the year I started the podcast. I wasn't as great at talking about this stuff, but I was like, well, yeah, I just think it'd be hot if you made noises. Like, nah, that's for chick. I don't know what he said, but he didn't make noise in the bedroom. So anyway, how you can be more expressive and dominant is you have this conversation about your sex life outside the bedroom. Not in the bedroom, not in the bedroom, not in the bedroom, Amanda. And the next time you guys are hanging out, you're like, you bring up one thing that you loved about the last time you had sex. Last night was really hot. I loved how you went down to me for 45 minutes. It was amazing. And I thought, I was thinking about you. I was like, it'd be so hot to like hear you in the bedroom. Like, I want to know what you're feeling. I want to know like if you could like, I think talking dirty would be hot. Now, here's the thing. Or dominate me in the bedroom. When you say that to Amanda, what's going to be helpful is if you can give him some examples. Because oftentimes when we just throw out to our partners like, dominate me, talk dirty to me, make more noise. First of all, they're like, A, I'm a failure. I'm doing it wrong. I'm a bad lover. I'm really bad in bed. Especially like in your 20s, maybe you don't have as much experience. Or maybe always. Let's be honest. You know, our friend earlier, she was in her what?
She was 50.
50. So her insecurity can pop out all different times. So I think the more specific, like, what do you have in mind by expressive and dominant? You could tell him, like, for example, babe, when I'd love to hear what you're feeling in the moment about my ass or about our sex life. Like, talk, you know,
yeah.
Like, be expressive, or maybe it's make more noise. But then also, like, dominate. Like, what do you mean by that? Do you want him to, like, do you want him to, like, throw you down on the bed? Do you want him to blindfold you? Do you want him to tie your hands back? Do you want him, you know, what is that? Do you want him just to, like, call you a little slut? Like, some women do want that. But I think you have to be specific because they just can't, they can't guess. And he's not doing it because he probably doesn't know how, doesn't know you're into it. So I think, and then you could say to him, I think it'd be hot if you did this. You don't make a big deal out of it, even though it feels like a big deal to you. Talking about sex, you guys, can become the easiest, most simplest thing in the world once you just practice doing it. And then you could say, and I want to know what you want from me. Like, tell me what would be hot for you. Let's talk about our sex life. Make it fun. Like, we're going to go to Disneyland. Like, let's talk about our sex life. Isn't that fun? Because it should be fun, even though it's nerve-wracking at first.
Do you think guys that do make noises in bed, do they ever practice their grunts?
I don't know. I don't.
Like, do you ever practice your sex noises?
No.
No?
I never even thought about it, like, until who just asked me about my O face?
Oh, Violet Benson.
Right. Violet Benson. I was at her podcast, which is going to come out soon. She's from Daddy Issues. She's a new podcast, and she was like, so how do you fix your O face? Like, women are concerned what they look like in bed, orgasming, the noise they make. And I was like, I don't think about it. I'm like, what you want to be thinking is like, I'm orgasming, I am the goddess of the universe, and he's so lucky he gets to be watching me. He's not judging my weird face. I don't know. Maybe guys do, but I just don't think about it. So I don't know if guys are going, like,
because I've just imagined, like, if they're learning from porn and they're listening to those grunts, you think that they try to be like, I need to be like a manly grunt? Like, what if they're just self-conscious, like, about their, like, yeah, that, you know?
Ew, probably. I think, you guys, here's the good news.
I think that's the thing.
We all have our own sex noise. We do. Like primates. Like, we get to make our own, like, ooh, like, what is it? That's why masturbation is great, too. Like, you have your own sex noise. Maybe you haven't found it yet because you've repressed it, because you were embarrassed. Maybe someone told you to, or you were too loud, and maybe you were, like, in college when they had roommates and you had to be quiet, you know? So I think maybe guys should practice letting go and just being themselves. But I'm sure there are guys, just like I hear from a lot of men who are like, oh, I feel like she was just watching porn and was making noises like a porn star. It wasn't really authentic to who she was. I feel that's for men too.
Danielle, 37, in Canada, has some questions about sex toys.
Hey, Danielle. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Actually, I have questions about all of the above.
Okay.
But, I'm 37 years old. I've been sexually active since I was 16. And I still have, even though I have an abundance of toys, I'm single now, I have a really hard time peaking.
Orgasming? Climaxing.
Yeah. So, like, I don't actually know if I've ever had one before.
Totally.
I've talked to my family doctor about it, and she just, I don't know.
Doctors serious. Don't yeah, know a lot of stuff. They don't have a lot of sex education in medical school, a lot of them. So that makes them uncomfortable. I'm glad you called me, Danielle. So tell me a little bit. So do you masturbate often? Like, and you just get to a point and then you stop yourself? Or, like, tell me your process.
I do. It's something that I enjoy doing, but it doesn't really get, it just never ends up getting to that point. Right. And I never had any, like, history of anything, you know.
No, like, sexual trauma, right?
No. Yeah, not at all.
Are you on any medication?
No, nothing.
Okay. And you have desire? Like, do you feel like you want to masturbate and you want to have sex, but you're just not getting there?
Yeah, I do. And it's something that I enjoy. Like, I've been doing it last year.
Okay.
But before that, like, it's something I do really enjoy and it's a priority, even though that doesn't happen.
Okay. Well, let me tell you this. There's a few things to know when you're starting out with masturbating, because I think it's really, like, it sounds like you have all the ingredients there, but you've got to be a little patient with it. So here's the thing. When we start out, like, it can take you weeks, days, months to finally have that orgasm, but it has to be, like, a committed, like, you know, my friend in college went away for this internship. We were seniors, and she was like, I'm going to masturbate, Emily, every day for 30 days, and I'm going to figure out how to have an orgasm, because I've never had one. And, like, it wasn't until, like, the third week, like, maybe it was, like, 3 days before she left, she was like, hallelujah, it finally happened. So just know that, like, it takes consistent effort, but I also, in that hand, it's, like, effort, like, fun effort, like, get go into it more curiously, like, more mindful masturbation. So maybe what's happening is there's, like, this expectation that it feels a certain way. So I would definitely, like, lay back. It's kind of like, I love the idea of thinking of it like seducing yourself. So you're taking a bath, you're rubbing on you, you're lighting a candle, you're engaging all of your senses, you're rubbing lotion on your body, and then you're laying down and you're just in a, you know, playing your favorite music, and you're just really breathing, right? So I think one of the key things is deep, deep breaths, like deep into your pelvic floor breaths. A lot of times we tense up and we forget to breathe, and it doesn't, and like when we remember to breathe, that helps the blood flow more and the orgasms happen. And so I feel like maybe you're going right. Like, well, tell me which toys you've tried with.
So I have the Womanizer.
Okay.
And I have the Tango, and I have that massage one that you just talked about, actually.
Okay, the magic wand. All right, I would say the Tango might be a great one to start with, because the Womanizer is like very specific clitoral, which I love, but we're not sure how you orgasm yet, because some women, here's the thing, and this is why you haven't, because there's not a lot of information like this, Danielle. So I would say go in and just start exploring without the goal of orgasm, and just take some lube. You got, you know, a few drops of lube, and you just start to rub it like around like your labia. And like maybe over your pubic mound, and you just start to like lightly like trace circles around your clitoris, maybe up and down. Maybe some tapping feels good, or some circular motion, or a little more pressure. Maybe you like take your fingers and like you rub like your clitoral hood a little bit, and you just kind of are teasing yourself. And then you could start with your fingers, and then you could kind of like bring in a toy. And the thing is, I had to learn this too. Like toys, I would like you don't just go like right on your clitoris, but you kind of go around it, and you go and you just tease yourself in the same way I was describing with your fingers. But again, keep breathing and just focus. When you go into your mind, like, is this it? Is it happening? Is it happening? Just go back to, what am I feeling in the moment? Oh, my left labia is tingling. That feels good. You know, oh God, is it happening? Go back to the moment, what you're feeling, and then breathing. And that might help you get there.
I will give that a shot.
Okay, Danielle. And also, we've got a lot. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. We have a lot of great blogs on our site as well for beginner masturbation tips. Right, Jane? We'll put those at the on the show notes at sexwithemily.com. Our show notes are there for you to help you with all the things we're talking about to have better sex, have orgasms. I love that question, you guys. It's never too late to learn to orgasm. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the show, for supporting the show in our 14th year, and for subscribing wherever you listen to the podcast, maybe leaving a review. We love that, and sharing it with a friend. Okay, thanks to my amazing team. Also, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.